Top of the morning to you, and welcome to a special St. Patrick's Day episode of the PAT Podcast. Sorry for a bit of a break last week. We're going through some stuff. We are reorganizing the way we're doing this podcast. And you know what? I think a person to talk about the reorganization of this podcast here is my permanent co-host, Justin Inneman. Justin, how you doing today?
Doing pretty well. St. Patty's Day,
Hey. If
you will. That was my leprechaun impression. Don't know how they talk, but that's how Conan O'Brien does it. So that's how I'm going to do it.
And he is redheaded, and I'm assuming O'Brien is probably pretty Irish.
He is 100% pure blood Irish.
If anyone would know what a leprechaun sounds like, it would be him.
Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and say that this is the way that they would speak. All right, so I don't know if you'd say we went through an identity crisis.
A bit.
Went through a bit of an identity crisis. I mean, I don't know if we're really changing up completely how we're doing it.
Just the way we're segmenting it and all that's changing. This
week in history will come and go.
Yeah. This week we got a loaded show with free agency. So
much football.
No time.
So much football. So I'm going to be taking the lead on the baseball stuff for this pod. This hot pod.
I got football and basketball. Who cares?
Yeah, no. We'll get basketball in there. We'll get the other sports in there. But
we'll talk about basketball during the playoffs.
You know, but make sure you head over to Twitter at PAT Weekly. Give us a follow, and then send us, you know, what do you want to hear more of?
Yeah.
What do you want to hear less of? You know, what do you like? What do you don't like? Let's get those suggestions. Help us help you. We know that you're not listening, but we still want you to go over and do that. So let's start the show off hot. Let's just come in hot. Over the next, 6 weeks, I'm going to be giving my prediction for each division in baseball, how I think that they will end, how they will end the season standing-wise. So this is going to be something I'll give you guys, and then towards the All-Star break, I'll give you my final projections for how I think the divisions will wrap up by the end of the season. So,
where are we starting?
We're starting with the American League East division.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good power division here in baseball.
So, the Eastern division of the American League of Major League Baseball. So, I'm going to give you the order, and then I'll talk about it a little bit.
Okay.
So, number one, I'm going to go Yankees, Red Sox, Tampa Bay, Toronto, Baltimore.
Wow, Baltimore's in the basement? I never would have guessed.
Baltimore, I'm going to put last. I think they got worse.
Yeah. So. I mean, it may be pretty hard
for
them to get worse. They
didn't get
but they
better,
did.
So they're either worse or they're the same, which is worse because it's the Orioles, you know.
They play in one of the nicest parks in baseball.
Yeah.
Yet they have a terrible
so,
team.
So I'm going Yankees over Sox. I've seen sites put the Red Sox still winning that division. I don't think it's happening.
What do you think that the Yankees did or Boston didn't do that puts them over the top?
To me, their offenses are pretty comparable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Boston has more of a balanced offense, while the Yankees are definitely a power-hitting offense. But, I mean, that's the way the league's going. And they do have guys that can put the ball where they want. You know, Didi is a good contact hitter. DJ LeMahieu, who they signed in free agency, is a great hitter. He can put the ball wherever he wants. I mean, he's a National League batting champ. So I think the Yankees will just be better. But mostly what it comes down to between those teams is their bullpens. The Red Sox lost Craig Kimbrell.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't. I don't think they've really replaced him at all. I mean, they have Matt Barnes to replace him, as the closer. Pretty sure Matt Barnes is an NBA player.
He is.
No, but I mean, when you think of Matt Barnes, that's what you think. You think NBA player. You don't know this guy. So maybe
NBA player, a lot of tattoos.
Maybe he'll come out, maybe he'll come in firing and lead them to something. But I mean, the Yankees, they added James Paxton to the rotation. Okay, but in the bullpen, they got Zach Britton, a great lefty. And they signed Adam Ottavino, another great lefty. So the Yankees really went all out in free agency
this
year. Adam Ottavino.
Adam Levine, gotcha.
Yes, they signed Adam Levine. And I mean, untouchable slider, Adam Ottavino. And Zach Britton. Zach Britton is a very underrated reliever, I think. So,
sniped him from the Orioles, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to go Yankees, Sox, Tampa Bay, who has a very, very underrated starting rotation.
But they're also in the East.
Right. So they're third. And then Toronto. And
Toronto's on a decline, yeah.
Obviously, Baltimore. So,
Is Boston a wild card team? Or do you want to save that for the end of this?
I mean, if the Yankees win the division, they would have to be.
Mm.
So I'm going to say yeah.
So the East is getting two playoff teams.
Yeah. I mean, I think... I honestly think it'll be similar to how the Dodgers and the Rockies last year were only one game apart. I mean, they had to play a tiebreaker game at the end of the season to figure out who was the division winner and who was the wild card team. I think it will be that close between the Yankees and the Red Sox. I don't see a tiebreaker coming. I think the Yankees will win the division by two or three games.
It's how you raise
but
down
it's
to the
going
winner,
to be yeah. close down the stretch. And post All-Star break, this division is going to be so much fun to watch.
Anything else you want to touch on in baseball?
Not this week.
I mean, Bryce Harper got hit by a pitch.
Oh, yeah, Harper. He'll be fine.
Yeah, he's already back in the lineup today.
Right, got hit in the foot with a 96-mile-per-hour fastball.
It was pretty scary, though. I mean, just that could have been them watching, you know, $30 million just go straight
well,
to
that's
the
why
end
don't,
of the year.
That's why you don't sign a, 10-year, 13-year contracts.
Yeah.
But that's also why you top-load them. So That's also why you top-load them.
I'm keeping that in.
That's also why you top load them. They did it the right way.
All right, well, that's probably enough baseball for today. Any major NBA news we want to hit on besides LeBron passing Jordan in all-time scorers list?
No.
Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah, that happened.
And it was cool. And Laker fans didn't appreciate it. So, you know... Let's just imagine if that happened at the Q, we would have lost our GD minds.
Did you hear Walt, what was the name, Walt Frazier? Some old Lakers.
Walt Whitman.
It was not Walt Whitman. I think it was Walt Frazier. He called out LeBron on the broadcast last night. It was pretty cool. He's like, well, he doesn't care about his team. He just looks like he doesn't care. That's not what the best player in the NBA does. And yeah, I thought that was a...
Well, he has no support.
He really does.
Nobody can win without help. So, you know, people are going to say all these things about Bron, but I mean, AD can't win by himself. No. And we don't.
Oh, you know what?
We're talking for that. Giannis has never won a playoff series. We don't look down on him for that. So,
did you hear about the trade rumors for LeBron?
Yeah, LeBron will not be traded.
I don't think he will either. Okay.
That's not going to happen.
Glad we're on the same page on that, because I think it's just conjecture.
Also, nothing was confirmed there. It was a Bleacher Report article that had, like, no sourcing.
Yeah. Didn't Bus?
Jeannie Bus. I don't know if she ever said anything
about it
publicly, but, I mean, I'm not buying that that's true.
All right.
Because the thing is, the report was that she contemplated trading LeBron James. How does anybody know what another person is contemplating. Yeah. Unless they come out and say it.
Plus, I'm pretty sure LeBron still has a no-trade clause.
He does not have
a no-trade clause. Oh, he does
not? No.
Huh, interesting.
That was part of his, I'm committed to LA, signing a four-year deal, and he does not have a no-trade clause in his contract. Mm-hmm. But LeBron won't be traded because, you know, you trade LeBron to the Grizzlies, and he's going to retire.
What would you trade for LeBron?
I wouldn't trade for LeBron.
Yeah, like I saw a GM come out say he doesn't even know if he'd send a first for LeBron.
I wouldn't trade for LeBron because he brings too much chaos, mm-hmm. but it also depends on who I am. If I'm the Knicks, I trade for LeBron.
Yeah, the Knicks have to make a move if they want LeBron.
But they need I wouldn't trade that lottery pick.
Mm.
But no. I mean, if I'm the Knicks, I trade for LeBron.
Especially if they end up with Zion or something.
Mm-hmm. Or you end up with even Kyrie again. You reunite them in New York. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's huge. So I wouldn't trade for LeBron if I'm trying to build for my future. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I want to win now and then in 3 years get fired, I'll trade for LeBron.
Yeah.
But I'm not trading for LeBron right now.
All
right.
Well, that's all the basketball we can muster up this week because there is literally nothing going on in the world of the NBA outside of LeBron James. So, let's talk football. It's a pretty big week in football. A lot of shakeup going on here. Free agency started on Wednesday this week. We have a lot of big-name signings already. I'm going to go through what I think are the list of some of the bigger signings here. Nick Foles, Big Dick Nick, he went to the Jags. A pretty good move. Obviously, Jaguars moving on from Bortles. Le'Veon Bell taking a pay cut to the Jets. Interesting choice. Danny Amendola reuniting with Matt Patricia in the Lions. The Raiders giving offensive tackle Trent Brown the largest offensive tackle contract ever. They couldn't afford to keep Khalil Mack, but they can afford a lineman. And, you know, have fun with your line, because you had the worst line in the league last year. Derek Carr got destroyed behind that line. Well, I mean, I guess so. Trent Brown's a good choice there. Let's see here. Terrell Suggs going to the Cardinals, finishing out his career there. Good move to help bolster a young Cardinals team that's going to be terrible again. This is a big one. The Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, to the Chiefs, 3-year, $42 million. That's a huge pickup, especially with them. I mean, they lost some big pieces on defense. They lost both their outside linebackers. So they pick up huge player with Tyrann Mathieu. Then we're moving on. CJ Mosley to the Jets. Za'Darius Smith to the Packers. Fun news, the Anthony Barr move. He was going to sign with the Jets. And then last minute said, you know what? I'm going to stay with the Vikings. Thought that was pretty funny. But, you know, the Jets, in return, they got CJ Mosley, which is a great pickup, but 5 years, $85 million? No, that's a terrible move. Za'Darius Smith to the Packers, Preston Smith to the Packers. Apparently, if your last name is Smith and you play linebacker, you're going to the Packers. But, interesting move here with CJ Mosley and Za'Darius Smith. Those are two big Ravens defenders just moving right on. Ravens losing some pieces on defense. I mean, they lost Weddle, they lost these two, they lost Terrell Suggs too. They lost all three of their linebackers.
Yeah.
In free agency this year. Let's see, Tashaun Gibson, ex-Brown, he's going to the Texans. He didn't do anything last year though. Jesse James going to the Lions. So getting a good tight end out of the Browns division.
Mm-hmm.
Roby to the Texans. Earl Thomas taking a mega deal with the Ravens. I thought that was a pretty interesting move here. Everyone thought the Browns were in on him until some false reports. Jason Lockenfora said he was coming here, and then he was refuted like a couple hours later.
Honestly, I never bought the Earl Thomas rumors.
Mm-hmm. They came out right after the OBJ trade.
And they didn't really come from any place
besides Jacob.
Credible.
Jason Lockenfora was the only one reporting it. I mean, he's credible.
Right. But, like, I mean, if it's only one person saying those things, I mean, I can't buy it.
Then, let's see here. A couple other big signings. Eric Weddle to the Rams. Golden Tate taking a mega deal with the Giants. I thought that was pretty interesting because he's on the back half of his career. The Texans, big fan of former Browns players as I'm really hurt by this one. Bringing Body Calhoun to the Texans. Then Terrell Williams.
I'm okay with it.
You're okay with it?
I'm okay with it.
I wanted the depth at that corner, but we'll get into that later. Then Terrell Williams to the Raiders. A good move by the Raiders to get a good pairing with Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. Hey, I said his name right.
Yeah.
Aren't you proud of me?
I was waiting for Antonio Bryant. I was waiting for you to say it, and you didn't, so I'm proud of you.
And then the last big move that I saw coming up here was the Ha-Ha Quentin Dix to the Bears, which hurts me because I actually really wanted Ha-Ha Quentin Dix here in Cleveland. But, you know, Eric Berry's still available, so we still got some people to get.
Yeah.
The biggest name still available right now, we got Justin Houston. He's an outside linebacker, edge rusher. The Ndamukong Suh still available. K.J. Wright. Eric Berry and Clay Matthews. A lot of defensive players. That's all that's really available right now when it comes to big, big names.
Which isn't good for them because
yeah,
this draft is so defensively... It's weighted so much in favor of defensive players that... Oh, would you rather sign Ndamukong Suh?
Who's a head case and he's on the backside of 30.
Yeah, or Clay Matthews, when you can just draft a linebacker or an edge rusher and pay him for 4 years,
yeah,
like what you would be paying either of those guys in 1 week. So,
yeah,
you know, I don't think this is a great time if you're a defensive free agent.
No,
Justin Houston, I could see getting signed within the next week.
I'm surprised he didn't get signed already, honestly.
I mean, he's a veteran. He could be a great leader. He's still got some fight in him. I don't think he's really declined too much. I mean, I'd love to see the Browns, you know, make a move
for Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about that when I get into.
They need that linebacker leadership.
They really do. There's two names on that list who I really think I'd love to see in Cleveland. And speaking of Cleveland, we're going to do a new segment I like to call Meet the New Browns.
Meet the Browns.
Meet the New Browns. This is every single addition to the Browns lineup so far. Got a 23-year-old running back from Willoughby South High School, Kareem Hunt, facing an 8-game suspension on a 1-year deal. He's got a 1-year prove-it deal. Last year played 11 games, 181 rushes, 824 yards, 7 touchdowns. Even more impressing, receiving 26 receptions for 378 yards and 7 additional touchdowns.
Yeah.
Huge move, obviously. Comes with some baggage, but, you know, being back home, being with John Dorsey again, who knows what can happen with that.
And I...
Yeah? Got something to say about that?
I appreciate that he didn't fight his suspension.
Yeah.
He didn't try to appeal.
No, just take it. Take it on the chin.
Again, you know, I don't really like to get political on this stuff, but I mean, I believe in second chances. I think with the right people around him that he can, you know, get past this and be a good improvement to this team. So, I mean, does this make Duke Johnson irrelevant?
We'll see.
It's a question. Week 9.
We'll see.
I would love to have all three, Chubb, Hunt, and Duke on the roster.
I know.
Given that Nick Chubb is always going to be your starting back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you could take that away from him.
No. Yeah, Chubb starting.
He was so close to 1,000 yards rushing last year, and he didn't even start the whole season.
Yeah, he was averaging like 3 rushes a game until we got rid of
and he was very close. He was like 5 yards away or something.
Yeah, he was like 2.
He ran for 996 yards last year.
Yeah, he actually had 1,000 yards and then he got tackled for a loss.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, 8 touchdowns, tied for 11th. He didn't even start the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
The first like
he didn't really start playing and getting carries until
like week 5 or...
Even later in week 5 until probably, we got rid of Hyde.
Probably until the firings of Hugh and...
Because that's when we got rid of Hyde,
Todd Haley.
Then let's meet the next Brown here. He's a 25-year-old wide receiver. He missed all of 2018 with an ACL tear. and he was picked up before we got OBJ, so he's probably going to be irrelevant now. It's Jaylen Strong. What do you feel about this?
I don't care.
Nothing. Yeah, exactly. Next, Cleveland Brown. He's a 28-year-old edge rusher slash outside linebacker currently working on an extension with him. He's a one-time Pro Bowler. In 2018, he played 11 games, had 7 sacks, 21 QB hits, and 1 forced fumble. He is Olivier Vernon. The first piece of the mega deal trade with the Giants, the Browns made. Olivier Vernon, great piece to add. Mm-hmm. Especially pairing him with Myles Garrett on that defensive ends. Scary. And then right. Even scarier, the other guy we added, a 28-year-old defensive tackle from the Minnesota Vikings, on a 3-year, $36 million contract with one-time Pro Bowler. He played 16 games, had 4.5 sacks, 16 quarterback hits, 49 tackles, and he's a great run stopper. It's Sheldon Richardson.
Sheldon Richardson.
Sheldon Richardson, Ogunjobi, Myles Garrett, Olivier Vernon.
Yeah, and I love all
that
of this.
Scary.
I love all of this to help Myles Garrett because Myles Garrett, while he is great, I don't think he's special. I mean, he's no Aaron Donald. You know what I mean? He's not.
We'll see. We'll see where he develops.
He can definitely develop to be an elite pass rusher, but he's not there yet. And this all helps him be able to be better because the focus is not going to be, okay, let's go into the game and focus on. We don't want Myles Garrett to get to our QB. Now there are other guys.
Yeah, now the thing is, we don't want anyone to get to our QB because everyone can hit the QB on this team.
Right.
And I don't know. Garrett had 13.5 sacks last year.
Right.
That's near elite levels.
He's great. I don't think he's no Aaron Donald yet. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he still has places to go.
Oh yeah.
And I think this helps him.
Okay.
But he needs that veteran leadership, you know, to get him to the next level.
Okay.
That's where I think some of these guys help.
You redeemed yourself with that. Okay. Then obviously the biggest move here, 26-year-old wide receiver from the New York Giants, 3-time Pro Bowler. He's under contract till 2023. He wants to restructure that deal. He played 12 games, had 77 receptions, 152 yards, and 6 touchdowns. His name is Odell Beckham Jr. OBJ. Oh my God.
And in the words of Jerry Jones, thank you, thank you, thank you to the New York Giants for trading Odell Beckham Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Jones is thanking the Giants, and all of us Browns fans are thanking the Giants.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, so look down the trade here. So the official trade went down. It's Olivier Vernon and OBJ for Kevin Zeiler, Peppers, the Browns first, and the Browns second third round pick. In total, the Browns fleece them.
Right, because the Vernon Zeiler trade, once the
they just combined
once
it into
the
one
Odell
trade.
Beckham trade went through. The draft picks from the initial trade reset themselves. Mm. So essentially, you're looking at one big deal that it just took two transactions.
Well, and NFL.com even made it one transaction.
Right.
It became one trade. But, I mean, you get a near elite pass rushing edge rusher. You get a potential franchise changing wide receiver to pair with your franchise quarterback. To pair with the slot receiver he played with in college, and all you had to give up was an overpaid tackle. Jabril Peppers, I am sad about losing Peppers. He is he was really developing last year.
Yeah, I'm really gonna miss those 8-yard punt returns.
Well, minus the punt returns. Now Callaway can take care of that. Maybe if he can catch the punt returns.
Yeah,
and then
so we'll get
then,
a lot of punt fumbles.
Then the 17th overall on what the 95th or 90-somethingth overall
something
pick.
Something like that. And I can see the Browns trying to move back in the first round, but
I don't think the Browns are done making moves yet.
Now, while I am excited about OBJ coming to Cleveland, I do think that as Cleveland fans, and I don't want to sound too cowherd here, but I think our expectations and our like self-esteem as Browns fans are so low that we might be getting a little bit ahead of ourselves.
I don't know.
I mean, Baker and OBJ and Jarvis, that's going to be amazing.
I mean, obviously, this
but you
season,
have a lot of guys on this team who are going to want the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And while Jarvis and Odell are good friends, I could see both of their egos getting in the way. They're both going to want the ball. Chubb's going to want some carries. When Kareem Hunt comes back, he's going to want the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot here that, you know, a first-time head coach. Freddie Kitchens has never been a head coach at any level.
Mm-mm.
And he's going to have his hands full in trying to handle all these personalities. If he can do that, if he can rally the troops and get them all together, I think that the sky is the limit for this team. But if it implodes, it's going to be ugly here in Cleveland, and I would not be looking forward to that.
Well, the thing is, I think Baker is the perfect quarterback to handle these egos. I think, if anything, Baker is the franchise cornerstone of this team.
Yeah, well, there's no question about that.
And I think...
But he's also got...
He does have a bit of an ego.
And that...
But having that ego is also a good thing. I mean, look at the way he celebrates when the Browns score a touchdown. Or anything. Like, yes, you get the good and the bad with the ego, but I think the good's going to outweigh the bad here. I mean, obviously, games are played in September, October, November, and December. They're not played in free agency. We'll see what really happens here, but, I mean, there's a reason a lot of national people are saying the Browns are, you know, favorites to win the AFC North.
Right.
Favorites and, you know, six best odds to make it to the Super Bowl this year.
I'm hesitant to sleep on the Steelers.
No, I am too.
When you sleep on the Steelers are now... Now people are ruling them out. People have them third in the division.
Yeah.
They're pissed, okay? And you see what happens, and I'm not saying that the Steelers are anywhere near as well-run as the Patriots, but you see what happens when we count out the Patriots, and we say, oh, Tom Brady's done. You know, they're done. This dynasty is coming to an end. Let's not sleep on the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're going to be a tough team to beat. And let's just go back to the games that the Browns won last year. I mean, we're excited about a 7-win season.
But they beat a lot of easy teams.
They didn't really beat anybody too impressive. I mean, the only playoff team that they beat was the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a 12-9 overtime win where Flacco was pulled from the game. That's the only playoff team that they beat. I mean, there are other...
They would have beat the Saints, to be fair.
Right, but they didn't. And here's the thing. They beat the Jets. Not impressed.
No.
Okay? They beat Baltimore 12-9 overtime. I'm not impressed by that game. They beat the Falcons at home.
Mm-hmm. That was still, though, when the Falcons weren't too decimated by injuries. It was a pretty impressive win.
They beat Baltimore... They beat Cincinnati twice.
Easy.
Okay. Not impressive. Carolina and Denver. So Case Keenum and a declining Cam Newton. They didn't really beat anybody with any sort of merit. So they're going to have a harder schedule
this
year.
And the teams they played too, like the Chiefs, when they played the Chiefs, they got the doors blown off them.
The Chargers destroyed
the Chargers and Browns. Chiefs destroyed the Browns last year.
Right.
So, I mean... But then again, they were in a big transitional period at that time. You know, brand new head coach. They just got rid of Hugh. They just got rid of Haley. So everyone was adjusting. We'll see how it works.
Right. And they finished the season 5-2. Yeah. And that's great momentum. But until they show us otherwise, the Browns are still the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And I really just don't want to get ahead of ourselves as Cleveland Browns fans because...
Because we got OBJ.
And now, okay,
and
we have OBJ, we have a quarterback, but how many times over the last 10 years have we felt this excited? I mean...
Zero times.
But...
This excited, zero times.
Yes, but there's always hype around the Browns to say, this is the year. Brady Quinn, there was hype. Colt McCoy, there was hype. Johnny Manziel,
yeah, but
there was hype.
They didn't prove it in a year on the field, though.
Like, right.
Baker's stats, especially under Kitchens' offense, were ridiculous. He was like the third best quarterback in the league under Kitchens. Under Hugh, he was like 32nd best quarterback.
Absolutely. And I don't have doubts that Baker's going to win games and Baker's going to be great. But this team as a whole is, it has the potential to just be a ticking time bomb.
They're young and hungry, man.
And like implode, and it could be ugly. So
it can go one of two ways.
I'm really hoping that Freddie Kitchens can pull these guys together. And while Baker is a great leader, it's easier to lead, to be a leader to Breshad Perriman than it is to Odell Beckham Jr.
This is true. This is true.
So that's going to be a challenge for Baker, I think.
Well, speaking of, I can't even segue into this because I still have some more players to add here. We just got so off on a tangent here with OBJ because Browns got some good depth pickups here.
The Browns are stacked.
I wouldn't say that.
The
yet.
Browns are stacked. They're loaded. Offensively?
Offensively, yes. Defensively is where I'm scared.
They just got to prove it.
Now, the Browns lost Darren Fells. They caught him, right? I'm like 95% sure they caught Darren Fells. Yeah.
Yeah.
So to replace him, obviously, John Dorsey going to his old friends in Kansas City. Demetrius Harris, a 27-year-old tight end. He's a blocking tight end, more or less. But he's still a pretty good red zone target. He ended up with 3 touchdowns on 12 receptions and 164 yards last year. According to Pro Football Focus, Darren Fells and him, and on their pass blocking and rush blocking, because they're both kind of the same player. Yeah. Fells was a red zone target blocking tight end, so is Demetrius tight end Harris. According to their scores, Fells was a 55.9 on the run blocking. I have no idea what this merit means. But Demetrius Harris was a 72.0. That's a higher number.
That is a bigger number.
That is a much bigger number.
And I'm going to say that that's good.
And you know what? In pass blocking, his number's higher too.
All right. Well,
not by much. It's only a 0.6.
We'll figure out what
72
these numbers mean
to 73
for next week. But
those are some numbers. And you know what? Demetrius Harris's numbers are higher. I don't know what that means. All right. Then the first add to the Browns I'm not super excited about is Adarius Taylor. He's a linebacker. He's 28, and he's on a 2-year, $5 million contract. He played 15 games last year. He had an interception, a forced fumble, a sack, 60 tackles, but he is a terrible run stopper. Like, he's from the Buccaneers. When he replaced, I don't know the Buccaneers lineup, but whoever, someone got injured at the outside linebacker position for the Buccaneers. And when
Bobby Buccaneer.
Mr. Buccaneer himself, yes. When Taylor came in, the Buccaneers' run defense became one of the worst in the league. Like, literally, him coming into the lineup made them terrible at stopping the run, which is something the Browns were already terrible at, stopping the run. So, I don't know if it's a great idea to pick up a bad run stopper. I mean,
it
gives us a little bit of depth, at least at outside linebacker.
Yeah, let's also remember that the Chiefs made it to the AFC title game with a bad defense.
This is true.
Last year.
And their defense got worse.
Yeah.
So two more players, both some linemen the Browns picked up. They got Eric Kush. He's an inside offensive lineman. He's 28. He started for the Bears last year. Then he became backup after a while. He can play all interior line positions. Decent depth pickup for our weakened offensive line after trading Zeitler.
Yeah.
And then Kendall Lamb, he's a tackle. He started 13 games at right tackle for the Texans. He's a really good pass protector. So good pickup there. Gives us, again, more depth on the offensive line, which is a big hole the Browns had going into this, especially after the Zeitler trade. I mean, I thought we were going to address in the draft, and we probably still will address some line depth in the draft. But, you know, taking care of a couple pieces in free agency is always good. So looking at the Browns lineup here, I still see a couple holes. I really want us to pick up some linebackers, especially linebacker depth, because right now Jannard Avery is our starting Sam linebacker. So Jannard Avery, can he start? We don't know, because he's going to be replacing Jamie Collins. Last year he played 16 games. He played all 16 games, only started 5 when Collins was injured. He had 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery, 4.5 sacks, 40 tackles, 40 quarterback hits, 5 tackles for loss, and he played 700 snaps. So he played a good chunk of the season.
Right.
But he's not the run stopper that Collins was. And again, run stopping was one of the holes that the Browns definitely had on defense. He was a 5th rounder in 2018. He's definitely a better pass rusher. But this dude is a physical specimen, and he can play all linebacker positions. What do you think about Jannard Avery? You know anything about him besides what I literally just told you now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna say that he's not gonna be a decent option to start, but I also don't know what the Browns' defense is going to look like at all. We know the players, but they have a new coordinator, and it's going to be an entirely different system.
I mean, they're staying with the 4-3, so we know that much at least. They're staying with the same default.
And something that I noticed last year, I mean, I watched every Browns game last year.
Me too.
And so did you.
I was getting paid to watch every Browns game.
Right, right. Is that the Browns' defense last year was not good after halftime. They were not a good defense in terms of adjusting to what the other team was doing. A lot of times we saw them have a pretty, not dominating, but a pretty solid, you know, first half, first three quarters. But they were really not good at adjusting what they're doing to match the opposing offense's changes in order to attack them. So that's something that I think if they just can learn to make those adjustments and learn to read the offense a little bit better, which comes with veteran experience and helping coach those young players, that's going to do wonders for the defense. And while personnel matters, I think this is still the NFL and this is still a league where coaching matters more than elite talent.
To an extent.
Name a New England Patriot defender.
Okay, fair enough.
You know?
But speaking of veteran presence for the team, I think there's still one name at the linebacker position the Browns should really be looking at.
Josh Cribbs.
No.
Okay.
Not a linebacker. I'm thinking Clay Matthews. Pass on Clay Matthews?
Pass.
Great veteran presence. He'd fill in a hole in outside linebacker. I don't know. I really think the Browns should at least look into Clay Matthews.
I think they could look into Clay Matthews Sr.
Well, he already played here.
Former Browns player.
Yes. It was his birthday a couple days ago, actually.
I think if the Browns signed Larry Nance Jr. as linebacker.
Yeah. But, I mean, so besides all this, and getting back to Avery here, especially with the revamped, like you mentioned, we don't know what the Browns' defense is going to look like.
Right.
Especially with the revamped defensive line, we may not need to worry as much about the outside linebacker position. And Avery may be able to start there, and we may not even notice it, really.
Right.
I mean, he's playing next to some good players. He's got Schobert next to him and Kirksey at the other side.
Yeah, Christian Kirksey.
Yeah, Christian Kirksey. I don't know why I blanked on Kirksey's name. So he's playing next to some good players, and with that with that defensive line in front of him, again, he may not even matter.
Yeah, and if their line up front is solid and they button up their secondary a little bit,
that's the next thing I want to address.
I think that you can afford to have a little bit of a weak linebacking core because the Browns had a weak linebacking core last year, and what you're getting this year is hopefully Joe Schobert can play the whole season.
Yeah,
because he's a fiery monster. While he's not incredible, he brings that thing that, you know, Dellavedova brought to that title team for the Cavaliers, where he's going to go all out every play, and he's going to try as hard as he can to be a nuisance for the other team. So that's what I really like about Schobert.
But you mentioned the secondary a little bit ago, and that's actually my second biggest hole for the Browns to fill, is definitely secondary depth. Especially now, we don't have after trading Peppers, Eric Berry is potentially, we're actually in talks with Eric Berry right now.
Right.
I'd like to pick up Eric Berry.
A little bit of an injury history.
A cancer history, too.
Right.
That's going to make you miss some games, but, you know, Dorsey drafted him. Dorsey loves him. And Eric Berry's a great player. So I'd love to see him here in Cleveland.
I'm not
as a nice veteran.
Well, I would love Houston and Barry here. I also want to put it out there that I'm not really crazy about the Browns' plan, as it looks like a little bit, to just bring over players that the Chiefs don't want anymore.
Well, it's not that they don't want him. The Chiefs' defense is changing. They're moving from a 3-4, a 4-3 to a 3-4.
Yeah, so they don't want those players.
Vice versa, yeah.
And...
But, I mean, they need to get rid of him, too, to save some money.
Right. I was just, you know, I just would be cautious of, oh, I was in Kansas City, I drafted these players, now I'm going to bring them over here. Mm. And, you know, they're a great team, obviously, but, you know.
Yeah, but, so let's look at the Browns' secondary. You got Demaryius Randle and Kindred at safety. Then you got Kerryon Ward at the corner positions. When it comes to depth, though, I mean... Re-sign Gaines.
You're saying T.J. Carey and Denzel Ward.
Yes.
Right.
Terrence Mitchell, E.J. Gaines. Then behind them, and we need to worry about behind them now because we're losing Breann Boddy-Calhoun. You got Tre'Varius Thomas and then three guys I've never heard of. I mean, the Browns, especially last year, they lost so many secondary players to injury. I mean, Denzel Ward was concussed twice.
Mm-hmm.
Mitchell missed half the season. I mean, everyone was injured on that defensive secondary. They really need to do something to shore up that secondary. And losing Breann Boddy-Calhoun is a huge, huge thing for the Browns, in my opinion.
But you see Denzel Ward's concussions were a result of him not really
tackling
well. Knowing how to tackle properly.
Tackled very poorly.
And I think that is something that has been addressed. I'm confident that won't be an issue this year.
This is true. It has been addressed, hopefully. Now, last little bit of thing on the Browns here. With all these major moves the Browns have made, makes a couple players irrelevant. You mentioned earlier Duke Johnson and then Emmanuel Ogba. They're both on the trading block right now. Do you see him being moved? I mean, I would like to keep Duke here at least until halfway through the season when we get Kareem Hunt back in, but
right.
I don't want an angry Duke here either.
Right.
I mean, Duke already removed all his stuff off of Instagram, all mentions of the Browns. So, I don't know if that's just him being, you know, an athlete in the 21st century, or if, you know, he actually is, you know, bothered by us picking up Hunt and, you know, him losing carries to Chubb, losing carries to Hyde last season. You know, but Duke is a great player, regardless.
Right.
And then Emmanuel Ogba. Bye. I'm okay with losing him. We don't need depth at defensive tackle. He was kind of a defensive liability last year.
Right.
I mean, whatever. If he wants to go, he can go. I mean, I don't know what we could really get for him, but, you know, thank you for your time here. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Besides that, have you heard for sure about Rashard Hollywood Higgins?
What about him?
Has he officially signed here or not? I cannot find anywhere if he has officially signed or not. I know we tendered him, and I know on Twitter he is going crazy for the Browns. He's loving everything we do. I cannot find any word if he officially resigned or not. Anywhere.
I mean, I think he's going to be here.
I'm assuming he's going to be here. Because he was probably the next biggest piece I'd say we resigned. Because, I mean, having your top four receivers be Odell Beckham Jr., who is injury prone. We need to worry about that. He has not played a full season in the last 2 years. And 2 years ago, he missed a majority of the season because of the Browns game, where he, what was it, ACL injury, or did he break his leg or something? I know it was a leg injury. And then, you know, we got Landry, and then we got Antonio Callaway.
Right.
Who can't catch a ball to save his life.
Right.
Higgins, on the other hand, has some of the best hands I've seen. He made so many great catches last year. And especially on a team that led the league in drops for a while. Like, halfway through the season, the Browns were leading the league in drops.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything statistically on how they did later in the season once the team gelled with Baker more and all that. Mm-hmm. Like, I know Njoku, like, from what I saw, he passed the eye test when it came to drops last year. He improved immensely.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Callaway, on the other hand, degressed, in my opinion, after that one catch in the Saints game. Couldn't catch a ball to save his life.
Right.
I'm surprised the man ever gets sick because he should not be able to catch the cold.
Wow.
Well, you know what? When you have like 8 drops for the first 5 games of the season, you know, we got problems.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about Callaway.
I'm not crazy about Callaway. Hopefully he can develop into a better receiver. and actually catch the ball. And by develop into a better receiver, I literally mean just catch the ball. Right. He can do everything else fine. He just can't catch the damn ball.
Right. Yeah, I mean...
Yeah. But Higgins, getting Higgins in there, he's a great third down target. I mean, how many times did he bail us out last year on third down?
Right. Higgins will be back. There's no question.
I love Higgins.
Higgins will be back.
If I had all the money in the world, I would buy a Higgins jersey immediately. Then, you know what? Let's finish this out. We started off with some generic NFL news. Let's finish off with some NFL news. I want to get your reaction here to a couple of the bigger moves and some of the major changes that are going on in some teams here.
Okay.
So, we're talking trades here, obviously, and Raiders, Steelers, a third and a fifth for Antonio Brown. What do you think about that trade? I'm surprised the Steelers can get a third and a fifth for him after that whole debacle with the Bills.
I'm really interested to see what the Raiders' plan is.
Yeah, they're making so many moves. They're blowing so much money.
But they have four picks in the first round.
Yeah.
So if they spend all of those picks on defensive players, then I think it'll be like, okay, I see the plan here. Pay for your offense. Draft your defense. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's kind of the opposite of what Seattle did when they won the Super Bowl, which is pay for your defense,
draft
your offense, draft Russell Wilson, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't do that, I think it's very clear that they don't really have a plan, mm-hmm. and they're just kind of winging it.
We'll see what Gruden does.
I think it's a win for the Raiders. It's a win for Antonio Brown, and I think it's a win for the Steelers.
Massive win for Brown. Yeah, everyone's a winner in that trade. Right. The Steelers need to get rid of Brown. And, you know, small tangent here. You were mentioning earlier everyone's overlooking the Steelers. Only real piece the Steelers lost because Bell didn't play all of last year.
Right.
Everyone's freaking out. But oh, Bell's gone. Bell's gone.
They didn't miss play the playoffs last season.
They did miss the playoffs, but there was so much drama on that team with Bell and Brown. I mean, now they got rid of the two biggest locker room cancers they had. And they lost Jesse James, which is a big lose. He's a really good young tight end. But besides that, Steelers aren't really losing much. I mean, they're just getting a little bit older.
I mean, James Conner. There's no Le'Veon Bell, but
he developed great.
He's a decent back.
Yeah, they sold Juju.
Juju is incredible.
I mean, Ben's still a terrible person.
But is there any team in NFL history who's better at drafting and developing wide receiver talent than the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah.
I mean, they got everything they could out of Antonio Brown. He was like, what was he, a fifth or sixth round pick
mm-hmm.
or something like that? Maybe I'm going too far. Maybe he was a third rounder.
I'm not.
They got what they can out of him, and they traded him for two more picks. I mean, I think it was a great move by the Steelers. I think it was very smart to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And they also didn't really have a choice.
No, so. there was no choice, especially...
I mean, they could have kept him.
Yeah, but I mean,
you know,
if you listen to some of his press conferences and what he said in the offseason about Big Ben, there was no way those two could play together. They would have needed to either get rid of Ben or Brown.
Right.
Antonio Brown was drafted in the sixth round.
Sixth round, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, everyone's a winner there. That's all I can say. Even though I said
everyone wins
that
trade.
All I can say.
How about the Chiefs and 49ers trade? Dee Ford for a 2020 second round pick.
Well,
that's all they got out of Dee Ford.
This is great for the Niners.
Yeah, great move for the Niners.
The Niners are kind of a sleeper right now. I'd be looking out
for
the
Niners. They're making some
moves. They're getting Garoppolo back, so.
And the last trade, there's actually has not been many trades this offseason. The last trade here, Dolphins-Titans, Tannehill and a 2019 sixth for a 2020 fourth and a 2019 seventh. What do you think about that move for the Dolphins?
I mean, Tanny's
who's playing quarterback for the Dolphins next year?
Josh Rosen?
We'll see.
I mean, you know, good job, Tannehill. Mm-hmm. Your job is not a backup Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, have fun backing up Marcus Mariota.
But, I mean, he's making $7 million.
Can't complain.
And he's making, if he plays 30 seconds, that goes up to $12 million. Mm-hmm. So.
Then, are you keeping an eye on the Packers?
The Packers are actually spending money
for once. Packers
are
making moves, but it's for their defense.
Right.
They're not giving Rodgers any weapons to go alongside.
Well, Jordy Nelson is available for them sign back. And you know,
only got older.
You know, A-Rod was really upset when they got rid of Jordy Nelson. Mm-hmm. And Jordy's available for them. So I can totally see them getting them back for Aaron.
And then what do you think? We already mentioned the Raiders. Raiders really could overnight go from being a laughingstock to a serious playoff contender.
Right.
If they draft well.
And let's not forget about how good of a move it is for the Jets to get Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
I mean, give Sam Darnold Le'Veon Bell.
That was a good move. That was a great move for their offense. However, overpaying C.J. Mosley $85 million a year for 5 years. I mean, $85 million over 5 years. Jets, I mean, they won one and they lost one, in my opinion, in free agency. But, I mean, you're still getting the talent of C.J. Mosley. Just having him on that contract is going to contribute.
They still have a ton of cap space, though.
They do.
And, I mean, Sam Darnold now has a running game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we forgot how good Sam Darnold actually is.
How well do you think Bell will play, though, with a year of rust on him?
A year of rest?
Rust. I mean, he hasn't ran a football in the NFL in over a year.
So he's completely fresh?
Yeah, he is completely fresh.
Yeah, he's going to be absolutely incredible.
Do you think he's going to lose a step, too? I mean, he's still 2 years older than the last time he played.
He's fresh.
Okay.
That's fresh legs. He spent a year not getting hit.
Yeah, no, so that does help.
The whole, like, oh, he took a year off. He's rusty. He's not rusty, okay? Michael Jordan came back after he retired and won another championship.
Not wrong.
Taking a year off is not going to hurt Le'Veon Bell. And if it does, I'll come back and admit that I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't foresee that happening. So.
And then definitely one of the biggest movers this free agency, really under the radar moves. These guys are making great moves. The Cincinnati Bengals. No, the Bengals are doing the exact opposite of doing good things in free agency. Yeah. They signed someone who is literally ranked as one of the worst offensive linemen in the NFL to a 3-year, $16 million contract.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, there you go.
Little Bengals. Oh, you're having fun. But that's,
and you know, the Lions overpaid for Danny Amendola, so
they really did, yeah. But he's back with Patricia, so
cool.
Yeah. And besides that, that's most of the NFL news, unless you want me to talk more Browns, and I don't think you want me to talk more Browns.
No, I think we're good. I think we're good. You took the reins, you ran with it. And I'm so excited for this football season.
Oh, my God.
And props to the NFL for
taking all
making
the
us care
yeah.
about the NFL during the heart of the NBA season.
Yeah. No one cares. No one's talking about the NBA.
We don't
right
care
now.
About basketball. It's NFL free agency.
Especially in Cleveland.
And what happens during NBA free agency? We don't care about baseball.
Yeah.
So props to the NFL for taking a page out of the NBA's book and making free agency exciting. And
MLB, take a note.
Yeah, MLB, shorten your season.
Make free agency fun again.
Make baseball fun again.
Yeah.
So that's shorten games, you know?
One inning. One inning, six outs. That's the game.
I don't mean shorten games by innings, time-wise.
Okay.
No.
One out per inning. One strike, you're out.
I'm sick of people asking me, why do you pay for MLB TV? How do you watch so much baseball? That's so boring. I'm sick of people asking me that. Let's have the outside people understand why baseball is exciting. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Come on, MLB. Let's get exciting again.
Yeah.
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 I'm excited. Woo! Now. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
We are out of time, so follow us on Twitter at PAT Weekly.
Mm-hmm. Follow us on Facebook at PAT Podcast.
Yep. Next week, I'll hit the AL Central with my prediction for how they're going to end.
Next week, we'll cover the two other players who are going to get picked up in NFL free agency. So
yeah,
get ready for a long
next
week
is going to be fun. I'm going to have some baseball questions. I'm gonna surprise
predictions.
Yeah, I don't have predictions.
You don't have any predictions this year.
No,
I have a prediction.
All right,
Browns to the AFC Championship game.
All right,
losing in the AFC Championship game to the Chiefs. Browns Chiefs can become the next great rivalry.
I'm actually going to predict that the Ravens are better than we think. And if let's put an asterisk on this. If Lamar Jackson can stay healthy.
When Lamar Jackson gets injured.
If Lamar Jackson can stay healthy, I wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens took the North.
I wouldn't either. Honestly, they lost some big pieces on defense, which is going to hurt them. But
they replaced them all, and I think they got better.
Exactly. I don't know if they got better. We'll see. I'll break down some other football stuff next week. I'll figure out something to do.
Yeah, we'll have some good baseball discussions next week. I'm going to surprise with some hypotheticals and some questions. And I'm going to talk about...
We're doing the Central, so get to talk some Indians.
Yeah, we're going to talk some Indians. I'm going to talk about the most confusing thing for me looking ahead to this baseball season.
Ooh.
So
keep you on a cliffhanger.
Follow us and stuff.
Yeah, follow us in places and listen to us in other places. You know what? We're going to work on getting this on Apple Music, so...
Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, sure, that too. I don't know Apple. I don't have an Mac, so...
The end of this is too long.
It is.
We're just talking.
We're done. Bye.